Well, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Well, it's quite interesting that my theme tonight is the voice. Maybe that's no coincidence. I'm just going to read one verse from Amos chapter 1, which after last week's reading you'll be glad to know. That I'm only reading one of the verses. It's going to be Amos 1 verse 2. And it says, "And he said, the Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds mourn and the top of Carmel withers." Well, after last week's introduction to Amos, discovering he was a bit of a non-prophet, he wasn't sort of in that realm of being from a prophetic family. Many prophets seem to go down and be passed down from father to child within the scriptures. But here we discover that Amos was a farmer. He was someone who looked after the sheep, a sheep breeder. And he also was a man who tended sycamore fig trees. And into that world, God comes and God gives him what is really, out of all of the minor prophets, probably one of the heaviest messages that there is to give. So I feel a little bit sorry for him, you know. Not actually sort of feeling a call to this ministry, not actually having this title of this ministry. And yet, he obeys, and he does exactly what God tells him to do. And he delivers this message into the heart of the nation. But here tonight, we're sort of taking a little rest at verse 2 before we sort of trundle along, maybe not verse by verse, maybe not even chapter by chapter, but we'll sort of glean a little bit here and there. But I was sort of drawn to this: the Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem. The voice. Now, there are many different voices around, and you know, you all know I'm a great fan of music, and I suppose into that realm you often say, who has the greatest voice? Who is the greatest singer? And it's interesting that if you ask that in a cross-section of people, you'll get a multitude of answers to that question. You know, there'd be some who would love the old jazz crooners of the past. There would be those who would love a bit of the blues. There might even be those who love a bit of Johnny Rotten. What a voice he didn't have. I've got to admit, even myself, I sort of grew up in the punk world, and even his voice sort of grated a bit on me in that world of punk. But there are many voices around. And I suppose it's sort of, it's seen more today, you know, even with these music competitions they have on television. And one of the latest ones is actually called The Voice. And that whole realm and the whole idea and concept is that the contestants are judged fully on their voice. None of the judges look at them, so they can't be judged on what they look like, so there's no image involved. They can't be judged on what age they are. They're just judged on what they sound like. And of course, as they're listening to these voices, and you know, some of them I sit there and cringe, but there are others you think are amazing, and all these great people, Tom Jones is there as one of them. And if they like that voice, and they feel that they want that voice on their team, they press the button and their chair turns around. And then they look, and they look so pleased with themselves. And the contestants are thrilled that their voice has got the attention of those judges. But the Lord has got a voice. The Lord roars from Zion. Now that word roars comes from a Hebrew word, sha'ak. And it can mean roar, rumble, or thunder. It is a mighty sound that his voice has. I remember as a child, I had a great fear of thunder. Maybe some of you went through that stage as well. I know there are other people who love a good thunderstorm. But I had a bit of a fear. And I can remember that fear sort of even going into, maybe an older childhood stage where even if a storm would hit our house in the middle of a night, I would sort of run into my parents. And of course, from a baby, it was great that I could snuggle up in bed with them, but they weren't very impressed that this 11-year-old is standing on the end of their bed, crying his eyes out. And the thing is, no, you're not getting in this bed with us. Get back to your bed. Everything's going to be okay. It's only a storm that will pass over us. And I suppose over time, I began to realize that, there is some sort of safety in a home, although with the recent storms that we've seen passing over us, there were one or two images of houses that were struck by lightning. That doesn't encourage my fear in any way, but apparently it's a chance in a blip of a millennium that that can actually happen to your home. There's more chance of being run over crossing the road than there is by being struck by lightning. So that's reassuring for all of you. But I had this fear of storms. I had this fear of this thunder. And it's almost like when you think about the voice of God, it is something that we should have that reverential fear for. Because that voice thunders. The Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem. We actually read something very similar back in our old friend, the book of Joel. This is what it says in Joel 3, verse 16. The Lord also will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and earth will shake, but the Lord will be a shelter for his people and the strength of the children of Israel. The Lord will roar from Zion. Now, apparently in these references, Jerusalem down in the south, Mount Carmel there in the north, there's this whole sort of emphasis that whether you live in the north or the south, this message is God booming out to you. This is something that you need to be attentive to. This is something that your ears need to hear. God has something that he wants to share with you. And so in the power and the might of his voice, this message of the book of Amos comes. From north to south, this message comes. And of course, as we said last week, it begins by naming the surrounding regions and the surrounding nations. And they're probably all thinking, oh, great, God has got a word of judgment for all of those that are picking on us. But then right at the end, we hear the warning for Judah. And we hear the warning for Israel. Northern kingdom, southern kingdom. You are not going to escape from the voice of God. Because God has got something to declare to you. So in this way, I was sort of looking and studying at this and I discovered Psalm 29. And that's what we're going to have a look at here this evening to help us to come to an understanding of the roar of the Lord, the voice of God, this voice that rumbles, this voice that thunders, this voice that is still speaking to us today. This is what it says in Psalm 29. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everyone says, glory. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people, and the Lord will bless his people with peace. It's interesting that the time that David wrote this psalm, that in the sense of the picture of the world and the other nations, Baal was seen as the storm god. So for David to come and begin to take that analogy and all of a sudden translate that whole image onto the true God, the one true God. David was saying, Baal is not the storm god. Baal is not the one that controls everything. Baal is not the one with authority. Our God. The one true God. He is the one who has the voice over the heavens, over the earth, over everything that we see, everything that we feel, everything that we know. Baal is the god of all gods. God is the god of all gods. Better not say Baal is the god of all gods. God is the god of all gods. He is the Lord of all lords. Now, it's seven times in this psalm that phrase, the voice of the Lord, is written. And when you read something seven times, there is a great authority here. There's a power in that. It's seen as the perfect number. And so we see an authority in this statement, the voice of the Lord. But it begins with people. It says, O you mighty ones, give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. It begins looking into the hearts of people who think they are mighty, and making them realize that there is someone who is bigger than them. Someone who is greater than the greatest person on this planet. You know, some of us have been drawn into the World Cup at this moment. I wish I hadn't. You know, I said last night, there's only one difference between watching QPR and England. Both are absolutely rubbish, but at least England won. That's a big difference between them. But in the World Cup, there are some incredible players. And I can't say praise the Lord, because I suppose every nation's saying that. You know, even England have got one of those great players of today. Harry Kane, where would they be without him? But even he is not as good as some of those great French players that we're seeing. The great Ronaldo. The great Messi. Incredible athletes. Amazing men. And, you know, we can even draw it further afield. You know, the greatest sprinters there have ever been. Usain Bolt. Incredible sprinting power. Some of the greatest boxers of all time. Muhammad Ali. You know, what a boxer he was. Amazing. And that's just even a glimpse into the sport world. You can go into the film world. You can go into the music world. There are some incredible people out there. You can go into the political world. There have been some amazing politicians. But none of these are as mighty as our God. None of these are as awesome as our God. This is what it says at the end of Amos chapter 2, starting at verse 13. It says, "Behold, I am weighed down by you as a cart full of sheaves is weighed down. Therefore flight shall perish from the swift. The strong shall not strengthen his power, nor shall the mighty deliver himself. He shall not stand who handles the bow. The swift of foot shall not escape, nor shall he who rides a horse deliver himself. Even the most courageous men of might shall flee naked in that day, says the Lord." All of these mighty people, the fastest, the greatest, the most incredible, even they will not have the power to stand up to the might of our God. Even they. So when David begins this psalm by saying, "Look, you mighty ones, there's someone you've got to give glory to. There is someone you've got to worship and glorify and look to. Give unto the Lord, you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord, because he is mighty. He is worthy of glory and strength. He is one who everything is worth the due of his name. Give the Lord glory that's due to him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Only he is worthy." So three things that this psalm brings to us. First of all, it speaks about power. And that power is shown to come through the voice of the Lord. In fact, in verse 4 it says, "The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The terrifying power of a violent thunderstorm." That is the voice of our God. And David here goes into some analogies as to how powerful this voice is. And he uses the realm of nature to describe the power of this voice. "The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon." Now these cedars were trees of great size and strength. They were known as proud trees because they could stand for years, decades and centuries. These great oaks. And these great oaks can withstand many winds and many storms. But David says the power of the voice of the Lord can break the cedars. There's a translation that says the hurricane can lay the trees flat. The hurricane force of the voice of God can lay the trees flat. I remember that very infamous year when we were told that the hurricane was not going to touch us. I remember it well because it was the first year that I, as a young Christian, went to a Christian camp. And that Christian camp was called Grapevine. It was in the Lincolnshire Showground. And it was held over the August bank holiday weekend, which was the weekend that Hurricane Charlie was just going to pass by Britain. We might feel a little bit of its breeze, but it's going to pass by good old Ian Muscaskill. It'll just pass by. But there I am in one of the evening meetings on the Sunday night. And I remember all of a sudden you could hear the sound outside of a wind picking up. And as we're going through the motions of the worship, hearing the speaker, I even remember it was Gerald Coates. That's how clear the night was. All of a sudden there was a report come in. There are tents being blown all over the field. In fact, you'll be very fortunate, blessed, whatever you want to say, if your tent is still standing. So we give you permission tonight, if you want to stay in this building, you can. If you want to sleep in your cars, which is normally a no-no at a camp, you can. But the storm is brewing. And of course, Hurricane Charlie came to do its worst in our camp field. I was quite chuffed because my little two-man tent stood up through the storm of Hurricane Charlie. It might have had an indoor swimming pool, but it stood up. Many of my friends just had tatters or just tent pegs. But the hurricane had come and it hit our land and it caused incredible destruction. The power of the Lord's voice. The Lord's voice thunders. This is something that we even read about in the book of Job. The book of Job, chapter 37, verses 4 and 5. It says, after this, a voice roars. He thunders with his majestic voice, and he does not restrain them when his voice is heard. God thunders marvelously with his voice. He does great things which we cannot comprehend. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. It can break the cedar. He can make calves skip, Lebanon and Syrian, like a young wild ox. So the animals, they will run for shelter. They will run for safety. They will go in any and every direction. It's interesting in verse 9, because it says, the voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth. I think there's other translations that don't even mention the deer there. But it's interesting that here, have you got the NIV one? Does it mention the deer there?
What verse?
Verse 9, the first bit.
What's it? Take cover in verse 8.
Yeah, what's it say, verse 9?
The tempest comes out from its chamber, the cold from the driving winds. No mention of the deer.
That's right, interesting. NIV is why it's always wrong.
Well, not necessarily. Before I do it again.
Yeah.
No idea.
No idea. Apparently there's two very close words here in the Hebrew. I'm not going to quote them, but they're two very close words that could actually go for either translation. The New King James has gone for "the voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth." That sense that, you know, even premature birthing can be caused because the voice of the Lord is so powerful. It is so mighty. But whatever the translation there, he can strip the forest bare. The voice of the Lord is full of power. But then we get a little twist in this psalm. Because it immediately moves from power to praise. You see, when you are the people of God, when you're amongst his number, we can be in a place and in a position where we think the voice of the Lord is going to thunder and we have to live in this trepidation and fear continually that God is going to come with this booming voice and tell us off. You know, I always remember as a youngster, there'd be a sense of that voice which came from my mother was always booming, and I was always quite fearful that she would have something to say about situations in my life. And whenever her voice was raised, it wasn't how high you could jump, it was what moon could you jump to. But you see, that fear of upsetting her actually stopped me doing some things. Because I would actually be too scared to ask her if I could go over a friend's house sometimes, because I think she would say no. I would be too scared to say, can I go to this event? Because I would think she might say no. And so there were loads of things I probably never did in my childhood because of fear. And you see, as the people of God, we can have a translation like that with this booming voice of the Lord, that we are too scared to even do anything and live our lives to the full because we think God is always going to be there with his disapproving word. But you see, we live in the days of grace. And we live in the days of mercy. And as we discovered last week, mercy triumphs over judgment. Jesus has come. Jesus has paid the price for all of this judgment. He was the perfect Lamb of God. His blood was shed so that we could know full freedom and liberty in our lives. We are called to live lives and live them to the full. We are not here to be in trepidation that God's going to tell me off if I step over the line. I remember one day as a young Christian being totally liberated because I thought the whole Christian walk was a tightrope walk. And if I fell off the tightrope, God would say, "What a naughty boy you are." But I remember a man called Rodney Kingston. He preached that God has actually given us a whole field. And he says, go and enjoy this field. And around this field are hedges. And if you get near the hedge, he will send a little warning to you, a little bit of guidance. But other than that, you are free to live your life because of what Christ has done for you. It is not a tightrope walk. It is not a place of fearing that God is going to tell us off every single day. And that's why here in verse 9 we get this strange twist. It goes from the voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth. He strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everyone says, glory. Glory. In his temple, everyone says glory. They are in awe of this mighty and great God. You know, a lot of people today are looking for something to be in awe of. They're in awe of the Niagara Falls. They're in awe of some of these great, majestic buildings that, you know, great people have designed, and they're in awe. You know, I've seen some great pictures and some great parts of the world, and I've stood down on the boiling hot surface of Tanzania and Kenya, and I've looked up at Mount Kilimanjaro and looked at the snow on the top there when I'm boiling to death. And I've been in awe. But if you want something to be in awe of, be in awe of God. In his holy temple, may we declare glory. And that's why David begins this psalm. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. He doesn't tell us all these things about the voice to scare us. He tells us all these things so that we go, wow. Wow. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. The psalm speaks so much of power, but it turns to us for response of praise. That we in the temple would shout glory. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as King forever. He sits as King forever. He is the King of all kings. And he is the Lord of all lords. Charles will be on the throne, but it will only be in a time span. The Queen sat on the throne before him, Queen Elizabeth II. She was there for quite a while, but it was still a time span. President Trump rules every single wave, but it would just be in a time span. You know, we've been told we've got a new Messiah here in Britain, Andy Burnham, number 10 in Manchester. It would probably be a very short time span, knowing politics today. All these people will have a throne in a time span. Even King David himself, who was a king that loved the heart of God. In fact, God said he had a heart after me. And yet he had a time span. The great kings we're looking at on Sunday mornings at the moment, who saw Reformation, they just had a time span. The Lord sits as King forever. How could we not praise him? How could we not praise him? The Lord roars, there's the power. The people respond, glory, there is praise. But all of this is to bring us peace. The Lord will give strength to his people. And the Lord will bless his people with peace. You know, when I first read this psalm, I thought, what a strange way to finish such a powerful message. You start with the Lord roaring so powerfully that cedars are breaking, animals are running, there's mess everywhere. Because the voice of the Lord has boomed. But it finishes with peace. It begins with what we should give. Give unto the Lord. But it finishes what he will give. The Lord will give strength to his people. And the Lord will bless his people with peace. A peace that passes all understanding. There was a day when Elijah was in the cleft of the rock. And as he was in the cleft of the rock, there were so many powerful things going on. There was a storm going on. There was a mighty wind going on. And it was like, oh, is God there? Is God there? And God wasn't in the storm. God wasn't in the mighty wind. But then there was a still, small voice. And you know, I believe every single one of us here have heard that still, small voice. Because we've responded to the call of God in our hearts and in our lives. You know, it almost seems like a contradiction that this God who roars has whispered into our hearts. This Jesus, and we'll close with these verses. Luke chapter 8, verse 24. It says, they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. And he arose and he rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased. And there was a calm. And in Mark chapter 4 and verse 39. It says, then he arose and rebuked the wind. And he said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly. And they said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? The mighty voice of Jesus. But a mighty voice that can bring peace. Why are you troubled? That's a question Jesus often asked. You know, as the disciples were going around clucking like hens, he said, why are you troubled? Yeah, you know, that I said there would be troubling things. I said there would be difficulties. But you can know my peace. A peace that passes all understanding. He's a powerful God. But when we come and we praise, when our focus moves away from the storm onto Jesus, we will see the one whose voice can bring peace. Peace, be still. Lord, I want to thank you tonight for your precious word. We thank you tonight because you are the God who thunders. You are mighty. You are powerful. And we stand in awe of you. But Lord, we give glory and honor. Glory and honor to you because it's due to your name. And we thank you, Lord, that as we worship you, it's your desire almost to reciprocate our praise by giving us strength and by giving us peace. You are the God who stilled the storms. You are the God who spoke into the wind. You are the God who spoke into our hearts. We thank you that you're mighty, but we thank you for the still small voice. Just bless us tonight, I pray, Lord, in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. The Lord bless you.